So today, though, I got to be honest with you. I had prepared a message and a thought, and I was like where I would love to be every Thursday night, and it rarely happens. I was like finished, ready to go. Excuse me while I cough. So at this point in the day, and I don't remember what time it was, but I decided, you know, having my message together and the thing that I want to share with you today, I just want to bring it before the Lord, bring myself before the Lord one more time. And so I walked into the sanctuary and I was just going to say, well, what do you think, Lord? You know, I mean, adjustments, corrections, I mean, you know, please, by all means, you know, feel free to edit, you know. And I don't think I barely walked in this room, and I was making my way over to this side over here, and if I said the Holy Spirit fell on me, that would sound like he attacked me, but it wasn't that. It was just that all of a sudden the Spirit stirred. And I've recognized this. This has happened. It doesn't happen all the time, believe me. But he just stirred my spirit, and I suddenly felt this conviction from the Holy Spirit that God has not always been properly heard. And I would not presume to speak for him, but I'm going to attempt to share something that I feel like that we need to know. In this Christian walk that we're living, in these confusing days, the story doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. It's us. We need to change, and we need to adapt. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this story again, and I'm going to just share with you today, not only does God forgive, but he is the only one who can forgive us, mankind. Because in the court of justice, it's not the people versus God. It's God versus the people. And so, knowing that he forgives is huge, but knowing that only he can forgive is a really important piece. It just helps us to get our minds and our hearts straight. We good? Can we do that? Can we just, so there should be a piece of paper near you that's got the scriptures printed out. I'm going to read this for you. I know you can read, but I want to read this for you. And I took a little snippet from Mark chapter 1, and that's the declaration that Jesus started his ministry with. And I want to share that, and then we'll read the story. Just follow along with me. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Please keep it good. It is always good news. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, and this is where Jesus is starting his public career in ministry. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand, within reach. Repent, return to God, and believe in the gospel. I'm going to read it one more time without the commentary, okay? Just hear it. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, the story. When he, Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word. What word? The one I just read you. That's the one. He was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof among him. I just want to pause for a second. I've been so privileged to be in China ministering in the past in Russia. And also certainly Uganda, Kenya, places in East Africa. And if you can't imagine people pressing in to get close to Jesus, just go on a trip with us. You know, go, just take a missions trip to some foreign country, and you'll see people crowding to get near Jesus. Verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four men who brought their friend, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Those five words changed that boy's life. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there. Scribes, who are they? Okay, these are the guys for which we are grateful because we have Bibles, because they copied the manuscripts. There was no duplicators, there's no printing presses, there was no copying system. So essentially, in a gathering of scribes, you would have one person read the scriptures and then a few men transcribing what was being read. So we have multiple copies of scriptures that date way, way, way back, okay, because of the scribes. Every synagogue had to have their own copy of the first five books of the Bible. They were handwritten. They were directed by people who scrutinized. These guys were so meticulous and, I want to say, anal in their transcribing, making sure that there were no errors, because this is, after all, a word from God through Moses, that when they got to the word God, they set their normal pen aside and picked up a different pen and wrote his name. Then they laid that pen down and picked up the first pen and returned to scribing. Such reverence for God's word. And hallelujah, we've got good, reliable scripture because of them. Amen? Go scribes. The problem is, they were so meticulous about this, and they knew God's word so well that they could easily get disturbed. I was going to try to say, I don't know what I was going to try to say. Anyways, they could get agitated in their spirit like a righteous anger rise up. And this must be what happened here, because these guys knew about God, but they were actually meeting God. All right, so here we go. Son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Like, remember the pen? I mean, like, this is irreverence towards God, right? Who can forgive sin but God alone? And Jesus didn't do what we would expect him to do, is to say, oh, yes, I am God. You know, he didn't do that. Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were thus questioning within themselves. So this is going on in their hearts, and they're whispering to each other. They're not addressing Jesus directly, but Jesus is able to read their heart. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 8, And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." Apparently he had authority to forgive. And he, the paralytic, rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out from them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So the issue is not just that God forgives, hallelujah, wonderful news, but only God forgives. And I want to uncork that for just a moment. But first of all, I just want to remind you, for those that have not been with us through the study, and that is that from the beginning of Jesus' announcement, people were coming to Jesus, and he's announcing the good news that God's here. He's ready to advance his kingdom into the world, and it's time to return to God. You know, he's giving them good news, and then he does something that is like, we didn't expect this. It's like the good news also carries healing. How many of you know that we live in a very broken world? So do we need our sins forgiven? Oh my gosh, yes. You know. But some people aren't even able to consider the depth of their need for forgiveness because of their brokenness. So if God is going to make all things new, and he's going to wipe away every tear, and every nation, tribe, and tongue will worship Jesus, there's a lot of healing that has to take place. Amen? Amen. There is a lot of healing that's got to happen. Okay. How many of you have been? God's been healing my heart and for a long time. A long time. He forgave me. I accepted him as my Savior a long time ago. A lifetime ago. But the need for my brokenness to be healed keeps getting revealed. Deeper levels of healing need to occur as you go deeper in the Lord. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, the closer you get to him, the more of a mess you realize you are. It's like, this is bittersweet. I want to draw near to him, but the closer I get to him, the worse I feel. Because I should be a lot different, a lot better. Judy deserves a better husband than me. Let's not vote for one, but, let's pray that God keeps healing me and her and us, all of us. So this good news came not only with a forgiveness component, but it came with a healing component as well. Well, people weren't even thinking about the forgiveness thing. They were just pressing in for the healing part of it. So I'm going to just say from the beginning, it's just so cool to understand that, like when the leper came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can cleanse me." And Jesus said, "I'm willing, be cleansed." And then what did Jesus do? He said, "Now go show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifice that is required, and be readmitted into the community." Do you understand that the scribes and the Pharisees, this is not in the scriptures, right? You have to understand, though, with just that one example, and there were multitudes being healed. So Jesus is sending a constant stream of people to the temple to be examined by the priest. And they would find out that these people had been cleansed. They had been healed. and they had been changed. And so the priest had no choice but to readmit them into society. Hallelujah. How many would like to see just a stream of people flooding from one of our high schools to the Lord, huh? How many would like to see just a continual stream of people in Washington, D.C. going back to church and saying, I thought I understood it all, but now I know I don't know anything. A constant stream of people went to the temple and said, I've been cleansed. And you got to understand that those guys are saying, how did it happen? Well, let me tell you, was it Jesus? Yeah. Just one touch and I've been cleansed and I've been changed and my family's been reconciled. We're back together again and the kids are going to synagogue. They love God now because of all that has happened to me, right? And the priest have to say, all right, get out of here, go back home. Constant stream of healed people presenting themselves to the temple for cleansing or for readmittance into the community. Oh God, do it again. Do it again. He's been doing it. We just need more. We just need so much more. So that constant stream of people lead the way to this particular story. All those people went to the temple, they come back and they're readmitted to the community. What happens in the community? Now the community is saying, I don't know what he's got, but I want to get it, you know? And so they hear Jesus is having vacation, 2 weeks of vacation over in Warmlingsburg on 2 North 2nd Street. And people are like, I don't want to bother him, but I got this need. And they, you know, and they head over there and people start flocking in, and Jesus being Jesus just starts sharing God's message of forgiveness, healing, restoration. Time's come. Return to God. There's a pathway home. Come on, you know. And people are getting healed and it's just getting out of control. So 4 guys get it in their mind, if we can just get our friend near Jesus, something will happen. I took a ride in an electric car last night. I've never done that before. I asked my neighbor, could I go for a ride in your electric car? And there's a few questions I had, like, can you get shocked in the electric car? You know, I just wanted to know, because apparently they carry very big batteries, okay? And then we started trying to look under the hood and figure out what this engine was and stuff, and it's not really an engine, but it looks like an engine, but it's electric, you know? And I'm just thinking, dude, you better be careful how you touch this car, because it could bite you. It could bite you back hard, you know? And I know, because I've been in and near and around these uninterruptible power supplies that are huge for computer rooms and places like that. Like, you've got to be careful because electricity can go to you. Like, you don't need to get near it. It'll come to you through the air. You just have to be careful. So I'm just a little cautious with this electric car. It was a nice ride, very nice. And I thank my neighbor for letting me have that thing. But I think the same thing was happening in the minds of these friends, is that, like, if we just get him near Jesus, maybe something will jump to him. You know what I mean? You know? Like, we can't get in the room if we could just get him near. So they decide to take the roof apart. They lower him down through the roof. And it's more than getting near Jesus. Jesus sees this. He looks at the boy, and you know, with a grin, you know, I just believe that the Father spoke to him through the Holy Spirit and said, this boy needs to hear that I have forgiven him. This boy's healing journey will begin with forgiveness. How many of us, our healing journey begins when we know that we've been forgiven? So Jesus, with a grin, looks at this boy and said, "Your sins are forgiven." He's not thinking about the scribes. He's not thinking about any kind of repercussion at all. He's just thinking about the boy. And then they say something that is so incredible. They said, "Only God can forgive sin." And that's where I think my encounter with the Lord, I think this is what was happening with me. A reverence for God. Like, as much as he wants to be near us, there has only ever been, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit whispered to my spirit. The Holy Spirit was provoked into saying to me and reminding me that mankind has only ever known one true intercessor. Many of us pray prayers of intercession, but only one could stand between the Father and mankind, suspended on the cross, and from that vantage point say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." There's only been one intercessor. And the reason is because only God, in the court of justice, there is only one offended party. Now, please don't hear me wrong. The things that you've experienced and the trials and testings that people go through, things we're born with, things that have gone wrong in our families, all these things are difficult. I've just heard so many difficult situations, honestly wondering what I would do in those situations. But there isn't going to be, I mean, we can, on this side of eternity, we can shake our fist in God's face and say, "God, you did this to me." And we can judge God. But the record shows that only God has been offended. And when I say that, I'm going to ask you this. Has God broken his word to mankind? No. Has he broken covenant with mankind? No. Has he broken his promise to us? No. Has he told us one thing and done another, lied to us? No. In the court of the justice, I mean, if people want to say the universe is smiling on me, in the court of the universe, in the court of heaven, in the realm of true justice, God has never done anything wrong to mankind. He's only sought to heal, to deliver, to restore. No matter how difficult your trial has been, and I apologize for that, but I just want to tell you that God did not break his word or his covenant. So, in the court of justice, God is not the defendant. Who's the offended party or the plaintiff? That would be God. So who can forgive sin? Only the offended. Hello? These guys were not wrong. when they objected and they said, he's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sin. They weren't wrong. It's really important for me to remember that. It's really important for us to remember that. Because we can put together, we can reason a whole lot of reasons, a lot of ways and thoughts why we think God should be different than he is or do differently than he has done. But in his holiness, his purity, his righteousness, his integrity, God is blameless before mankind. Someone say amen. I think he's big enough to handle it. I don't think he needs let off the hook. But can we just agree that in the court of justice, only God has been wronged? Only God has been wrong. Has evil occurred to you and to me? Yes. Has injustice occurred to me and to you? Yes. But at the hands of God? No. So God is the offended party here. Only God can forgive sin because only he is the offended party. This is a very sacred moment. Just giving you time to process it. You can talk to me later and say, well, what about? And I get it. How many of you understand that if you are hopelessly bound to anything, that healing will not come until you recognize that moment and that you are powerless to set yourself free. But once we have been there, there was this gentleman that I met. One day I was in Boston, Massachusetts, and I was staying with a pastor and his wife. We were doing some street ministry, and I had been away for the week, came back for the weekend, spent a weekend with this family. So now it's Friday night the next week. In between last Sunday when I left and this Friday night, there had been some gospel messages, and there was one particular man who came to town, and he was an evangelist. And he begins to speak to this man, Peter. Because someone brought Peter, actually it was a girlfriend, brought him to these meetings. So Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, meetings in a house. And this girl accepts Jesus. She goes home, gets her boyfriend, Peter, brings him to the house. He was the foremost gang member and motorcycle enthusiast. He had nearly a pound of metal in his body from all the accidents. When I met Peter, he was sitting on the porch at the house as I arrived that Friday night. There was a little bit of sun coming down, and he was just sitting there still, reflective, enjoying life, enjoying the sun, enjoying the fresh air. And when I met Peter, he explained to me what had happened in this earlier week. And he said, I never thought I could feel this good, having been forgiven. He said, you don't understand how much I needed forgiveness. He said, but these people, they took their tub surround kit off, filled up the bathtub, and they baptized me in their bathtub. And the evangelist took him and bought him a new suit, took him to one of the nicer restaurants in town and bought him a new meal, and said to Peter, he said, this is a new life, don't mess it up. When I met Peter, he was so excited to be alive and to know that he was forgiven. But more than that, the chains had been broken. But until you get to the place where you recognize you are powerless to break the chains, you can't begin to heal. And let me just tell you, one word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, one touch from him, and we can be set free. Praise God. Praise God. So I agree. Only God can forgive sin. And I also say how desperately we need it. But just so that we're sure that this isn't just a play on words, the reason that Jesus had the authority to forgive that man is because the Father sent him to the earth for that purpose. He came here to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to bring forgiveness. He came to stand between the righteous judgment of God and the convoluted lies of Satan. You know, Satan finds a legal ground to say, God, you know, that person is a scumbag. And God cannot just ignore it. He had to deal with it. So he sent his son. Jesus died for our sins. So I want to leave you with this thought, is that not only was there an endless stream of testimonies going to the temple, endless stream of people returning home, being readmitted, but there's an endless stream of blood, of forgiveness flowing from the throne of God, from the cross of Jesus Christ, that is capable of forgiving and healing anyone, anywhere, anytime, nations, tribes, tongues, and families. Anyone can be forgiven. Anyone can be saved. Anyone can be touched by Jesus. All we need to do, all we need to, you know, is sometimes I want to say, if you have two functioning brain cells left in your mind, take the forgiveness. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him for it. He's good for it. He'll give it to us. Because the Father authorized Jesus to come with this amazing good news. Is there anyone besides me that's just a little bit grateful for that? Yeah, come on. Just stand up with me. Just stand up here with me. I want to share this with you. Forgiveness is the very first step in our healing journey. And we need to share that message, because that message is not getting the airtime that it needs. You know, people would much rather hear the bad news. It's time for people to hear the good news. Amen? All right, so I'm gonna pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to do in a moment here what he did for me in a moment over there earlier this week. Is there was this sense in which I recognized I have no argument, and only God can forgive. And there's only ever been one intercessor between me and certain destruction, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, accept it. Ask for it. Receive it. Arise. Take your bed. Come home. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this wonderful group of people. But more than anything right now, I just thank you for the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that we are in the place where transactions are made. Literally everything I could ever need in life and eternity can be found in this room, here and now, through Jesus Christ. So I'm praying, Father, that a sacred fear would drop on us and we would recognize God alone can forgive my sin. Therefore, I ask him for forgiveness. And with that prayer, begin our healing journey. With that prayer, begin a transformed heart and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 30 seconds of silence. Tell God what is on your mind right now. Just tell him.